That's great. Great kind of wrap up. I thought we'd play a song. It's a touching song to me. I was looking around. How many of you guys in here got in the Word not because your parents are in the Word or your family's in the Word? Raise your hand. Okay. So that's a lot of us. This song might mean more to those of us who didn't have families that got in the Word, but this song, every time I hear it, I just cry because the heart behind it and the message that it gives. I hope this is the right song. I think this is the name of it. It's, just play it. And I want you to listen, not talk.
No matter what it takes.
quite a song. It's so reminiscent to when I got in the Word. And I'm still here. And, you know, when I got in the Word, that was it. There was no turning back. Made plenty of mistakes, but no turning back. I quit my job as a baseball umpire for Little League and sat on the corner of Park Street and Santa Clara. I have a picture of me and George in my room, in my fellowship room, where that place is, and later Dorsey and Diane came with us to Alameda, and I sat there every day and spoke the Word of God to everybody I saw. And it was a good year. I think about 35 people got in the Word that year. Some of them still standing, George being the greatest. Acts 28. Name of that band is Acts 29. And the reason it's that name of that band, it's a great name for a band, is because of this verse. Acts 28. And the very last verse, you know, you think, here's the book of Acts, and it shows, you know, the rise and expansion of the first century church. And just think of how providential this is, that it's the last verse preaching the kingdom of God. And when I shared on one of those days, I went to Luke and I went to Matthew, and that's what they were instructed to do, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. And that means you're just not afraid to speak. You speak, you speak, you speak. You're just not afraid to speak. You're not afraid to speak. You're not afraid. You're not intimidated. You're not brash. You're not mean, but you're not afraid. With all confidence, no man forbidding him. What a great charge at the end of the book of Acts. You know, holy men of God spake as they are moved by the Holy Spirit. So that verse is not in the wrong place. It's not the wrong verse. Go to 1 John. You know, Dean did a nice job wrapping things. But a few things that I noticed this week, again, not surprisingly, that when the Word of God is spoken over a period of time to a group of people who have some sort of desire to learn, whenever we do these things, my prayer is that people will learn, but they'll grow, they'll get delivered, that they'll get healed, and that their vision will grow. And I think that all those things have happened with almost everybody here. And if it hasn't, it's on you. It sure isn't because the love of God hasn't been present. It sure hasn't been because the Word of God hasn't been rightly divided. It would be our own stubbornness and pride that we would reject what God has made available to us here. But I don't think you have. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also might have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship," you know, that's that full sharing. "Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." And one thing that I don't know if Dean mentioned or not, but really was big to me as I was preparing, was that relationship that David had with God in his prayer life. My God, my fortress, my deliverer, my help, my... It was very personal for David. And, you know, when you're praying, you believe that he's there, that he's listening. He's our God. Individually, he's our God. That truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you. And here's the reason we're writing these unto you, is so that your joy can be full. God wants us happy. He wants us blessed. He wants us joyful. He wants us to have a good song in our hearts that bubbles out in our lives, that, you know, just like it has with all of you. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare, which means they spoke, they made it known. This is the message. Here's the message. That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is the ultimate light. Jesus Christ was God's reflected light. And we are God's lights in this world because of the Christ within us. Chapter 4. You remember in the Power for Abundant Living foundational class, the last session, you know, Dr. Worrell leads everybody into speaking in tongues, and then, you know, there's a break, and then he comes back after the break, which is one of the greatest segments of the class, which I think is 17 minutes long, where he says, I wonder what to say to people at a time like this. You know, I kind of feel that way right now. Chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They're of the world. Therefore, that's what they're going to talk about. And that's what the world wants us to talk about. The world and the adversary wants us to talk about the things of the world. And therefore, that's what they talk about. Therefore, they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. But no, we're of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God doesn't hear us. When I used to witness on that corner, or even today, if somebody doesn't hear the word, you lose. I have lost nothing. Forget about it. We're of God. What an amazing thing. You know, we read the word of God way too fast. Take it easy. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God doesn't hear us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Boy, the more of the word of God we can learn and put on in our minds, the better we'll be able to see error, see what's not right. You'll know it because you have a scope of God's word in your heart. You'll know what's messy, what's wrong. And boy, think of that benefit. Beloved, let us love one another. Why? For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Can you imagine knowing? I don't know what this word know is. Does anybody? Doesn't matter. this isn't the time for it, but I imagine it means you know him. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, knoweth God. Everyone that loveth. God places a huge emphasis on love. His love, our love for him, and our love for each other. It's a huge emphasis. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, and he gave him, so that we could live through him. We could have the fullness of life. Life in all of its splendor and all of its glory. To be able to live. Check this out. I've been to 48 states in the United States of America. And I've never had a pot to piss in. How did that happen? I've been married to two great women. That's almost impossible. How did that happen? I have three children that love God, love his word, do fellowships in their homes. How did that happen? I was set up to be trailer park trash in Placerville, California. 9 grandchildren, including Diane's grandchildren. All love God. All love his word. That would be worth my entire life. One thing that didn't get taught this week was thankfulness. With an attitude of gratitude, it's impossible to be negative. You can't be thankful and unthankful at the same time. And the word says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's not a request. I mean, that's not a please. It's in everything give thanks. God is telling us what to do. Whoa. So do we listen to that or stay unthankful the rest of our lives? Wallow in your poop. Herein is love, not that we love God, that's not the big deal, but that he loved us, that's a huge deal, and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love everybody. No man seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Look at verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. I didn't look dwelleth up either. I didn't look none of this up. Dwelleth, I imagine, means live with or live in. He that dwelleth in love, who lives in love, lives in God, and God in him. Here is our love made perfect, that we can have boldness. You know, the confidence, the ability to speak without thinking about repercussions, without being afraid. Just speak. Well, so we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Well, let's act like that. Because there's no fear in love, because perfect love casts out all fear. What a great thing to remember. There isn't any fear in love. It's not acceptable. Because perfect loves, but perfect love casts out fear. That's how it comes sometimes when people have been kind of distant from God for a while. And they're around a lot of believers who are walking in love. They get a little shaky. because they've been having too much fear. Fear ruins people's lives. You know that. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, but doesn't like his brothers and sisters, he's a liar. He that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how's he going to love God who he's never seen? And this is a commandment that we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Look at chapter 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not what? They're not burdensome. God's word is never burdensome. It should be a joy for us to walk forth in newness of life by applying God's word in our lives. It should just be such a joy. Look at Psalm 34, 34th Psalm. This advance begins when we get home. If we do this right. I sure was blessed yesterday with the word of God that was taught. I've been blessed every day, but that one's fresh on my mind. You know, that phrase, each one reach one, drives me crazy. I don't like that phrase at all. I can't stand it. It was shoved down my throat so often I couldn't stand it. But, that's a darn good idea. I just don't like the phrase. But let's get back to what it means. If you win one, then there'll be, the whole world will believe. Like an atom bomb. And let me explain to you what an atom bomb is. It's this big thing that goes up in the air and it kills everyone. Last night when Bob said it, Joe and I were like, Adam, well. I'm sure Bob does a lot of that on purpose. I wish you guys could see us all together. It's such a bunch of knuckleheads, really, including Bob. Yeah. But that whole idea, I think, is because it was said so often yesterday, each one reach one, each one reach one. And you know, it rhymes, Michael. You might do a poem. Each one, each one, it can be done. The fight has already been won. With a W, not an O. But I'll bet you we'll be more cognizant of that, right? Because of the truth of God's word that was shared yesterday. That's how they did it. I mean, that's what they did in the first century church. And if the first century church truly is a template of the rise and expansion of God's word, then that's cool. Maybe challenge yourself to, like, today as you're going home. We used to do, like, these, when I did light bearers back in the day when it was really light bearers, we'd do these challenge witnessing things. I would say, we'd be in Jersey City, for instance. And that was back when Light Bearers was, I don't know, Bob, he said 100 people in his house. So let's say 100 people. So if you knew the neighborhood we were in, I would say, witness to a left-handed person. So if someone found a left-handed person, they would shout to their, hey, over here. And poor guys at the Dunkin' Donuts just getting 100 people witnessing to him at different times. We were respectful, waited for the other person to leave. Then we'd buy a donut and witness to him. Witness to a redhead. Now, in that section of New Jersey, West New York, there might be one red hair on someone. And then all of a sudden, this poor person just, 100 people. Oh, they're one redhead. Witness to one person with a dot in their head. Witness. No, man, and this was fun. It just, you get over your silly fears. Tell 20 people you're righteous in a half an hour. I used to just wait at the bus stop, and then the bus door would open, and I would say it, and then I was done. I could have a cup of coffee. All these fun things. So maybe, today, if you stop at a gas station or if you go get something to eat or something, maybe speak the word to somebody. And then when you get home and you take your naps and stuff, tomorrow is a Saturday. Maybe if you go someplace, maybe the first person you see, tell them that God loves him. Tell them that whatever you want to tell them. Why not? Let's start making a habit of this thing again. The adversary, again, in the past several years has made it, boy, people don't like to be in close quarters. They don't like direct contact. They've been not used to it. Give them that love that I see here. It's so evidently manifested amongst all of you. Give them that love, Bonnie Raitt saying it. Let's give them something to talk about. Yeah, I don't know. She knew what it was about. Although she did marry a PFL grad, Michael knew him, and then she divorced him. But look at verse 1 of Psalm 34, okay? We'll close here. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Again, you see the heart of David as a man after God's own heart. He said, I will, by the freedom of his own will. He'd bless the Lord at all times. And that his praise would continually be in his mouth. What a tremendous confession. There's an old adage that's in the book, Release from Your Prisons, which I recommend that book. And says, it's Synchronized Life, thank you. Whoever yelled no at me. Confession of belief yields receipt of what?
Confession.
Yeah. It's not a bad idea to confess what God's word says, right? Confession, if that's what we believe. Confession of belief yields receipt of confession. Here, David's confession was he would bless the Lord at all times and that his praise would continually be in his mouth. And then he says, my soul, which is his life, shall make her boast in the Lord. David said, his soul, again, by the freedom of his will, he would boast in the Lord. He'd talk about how great God is. What a great thing to talk about instead of the Democrats and the Republicans and the Black Lives Matter and all the horse shit that the adversary throws out there that does nothing but cause division. I had believers reprove me about Black Lives Matter, saying that's full of crap. Didn't bother me. Anyway, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. That's the thing we ought to be talking about, not that stuff. The humble shall hear. Humble people hear. Prideful people don't hear a thing. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. That's not a verse, but that's a good phrase. Well, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Humble people are happy people. Happy. And then it says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. It's tremendous to magnify God in our own personal walks and our own lives as we're by ourselves. But boy, isn't it great to be able to be together like this and magnify the name of the Lord. Did you sing that today, Dean? That was great. I was hoping that song would get sung this week. You know, oh, magnify the Lord. What's it say? Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let's exalt his name together. You know, Brian Bliss did a great teaching on together and one another. That's a great study in the Word. It's better together than it is. Well, look at Adam. Poor little Adam out there all by himself. I don't know how long. You know, Adam's all alone. And God saw. But he's all alone. God provided him a beautiful wife. How loving of God. Why would he do that? It's not good for us to be loners. Some of you in here have a real problem with that. And you got to stop it. You're better when you're with somebody else than you are when you're by yourself. And you should have seen that this week. The profit of being together, the benefit of being together. Some people, you know, need their space, and I get that. But it's better to be together than it is apart. Together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. Now, the Lord wasn't lost. He's right there. So, we do that too, and well, we ought to. Seek the Lord early, it says someplace. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Sure, David had fears. We all do at times. But what did David do about it? He sought the Lord and asked him to deliver him from all his fears. Oh, the most assured person that sits there with all righteous confidence. It doesn't matter. Everybody's got fear once in a while. It's just kind of cool to know where we can go to get it taken care of. And God wants us to. David, a man after God's own heart, had fear. One place he had so much fear, his knees shook, banged together, scared to death. And I'm sure all of us have had those dark nights of the soul, as Dr. Wirral would refer to it, where you're just freaked out, or you're just worry. Boy, seek the Lord. He's not lost, of course, and expect his deliverance. It can be quick, you know, because the word of God is quick and what?
Powerful.
And sharper than any two-edged sword, man. It just like Star Wars or something. They delivered me from all my fears. Man, oh man, look at this next verse. They looked unto him, unto God, and were lightened. That word lightened means they sparkled. They just sparkled. They looked at God, and they were lightened. They were sparkled. I was going to share Psalm 73 and 77. And those are the records of Asaph, a prophet, a singer, a wonderful man of God, who by revelation wrote a bunch of psalms. The one record, he looked within. And when he looked within, he was miserable. He must have done it for a period of time. But then one moment of clarity, he looked up. And he realized once again that God was mighty, that God was powerful, that he was his deliverer. He's the one who would take care of him. Who is so great a God as our God? Just like us sometimes. We look within. That is a lonely, dark place. When you go in, it's no bueno. It's not good. It's not good. The only time it can be good is if you're confessing the word about yourself. But obviously Asaph didn't. The other thing he did was he looked around him. He looked around him. He's like, oh, look at these guys with the gold chains around their neck. Bad Bunny, people like this. 50 Cent. And you look at all these people, they're prospering, they're this. He's looking without, and he goes, I've cleansed my heart for some, for, what does it say? What? Yeah, I've washed my hands in innocency. I've done all this stuff. I've labored for the Lord all my life. I've worked hard. I've worked with this person for 30 years. They got the same oh, my God. And then look at everybody out there. They've got, you know, they eat pizza every night. They they have two cell phones. They get an 80-inch screen, TV. They have a man cave. They've got posters signed by Bruce Springsteen. This is like my dream. These, you know, this is my great life. Yeah, and you know, but oh, the work of the ministry, dealing with these hard, stiff-necked believers. Well, Dean read that verse, I think, about Jeremiah. He'd had it. He was done. But then he wasn't done. He couldn't be done because it's too much in there. So Asaph was looking around and he was, you know, having a pity party. A man of God, a prophet, one who was given revelation to write God's word, a great man. No different than us. We do the same things at times. We look within, and that is just a rabbit hole. You know, and we look without and we go, oh, I wished I could be like Eric Vetterlein. God, what a man, you know, he's strong, he's vibrant. He goes to Venezuela, you know, married to a great lady and has a thriving business. Of course, that's not a good example because Eric is a believer. Okay. Someone else, you know. And you know, Steve looks at the people with the boats, you know. If I could only have a yacht. Me and Lita could visit the people in Tampa by going around. We could have fellowship on a boat. And if they couldn't come to the boat, we could do blue jeans. So Steve will probably get a canoe. But you know, looking without, looking within is just really no good. Verse 5, they looked unto him and they sparkled, just like your lives are sparkling. Your lives are sparkling. Maybe this will only last a day, but damn it, enjoy the day, okay? Because your lives at this moment, at this point in time, are sparkly. Your hearts are sparkled. That'd be a good one. Sparkle in my heart. They looked unto him and were light, and their faces were not ashamed. You know, the word says, study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's God's word. We never need to be ashamed, rightly divided. I never need to back off of the word of God, regardless of how bad the adversary would like me to. Same with you. Tom Petty wrote it. It won't back down. That's a great song. If you think about the word, you know, all these, I love music, so I try really hard to make someone I like sound biblical, you know. Oh, there's a line. He must be born again. He speaks in tongues, I'm sure. Let's read those verses again. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Boy, I just love you so much. And maybe for me, you know how, so what blessed you? I think the thing that blessed me the most was the love of God that has been manifested. There's nothing more healing than the love of God. Outside of the word of God, the written word of God, there's nothing more healing than the love of God manifested. And we've had both. We've had the word of God that heals, and we had the love of God that heals. So you are a bunch of healed, wonderful believers. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing Family of God. Father, thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, your peace. Thank you for what you have done this week for all of us. And Father, how your word has penetrated the very innermost part of our beings. And we sure are thankful for that, Father. I ask that we can stay hungry and that we can stay meek and that we desire nothing but you, nothing but your word, so that we can have a life that's more than abundant. Thank you, Father, for your word prevailing. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you that we can increase in believing. And thank you for your word moving mightily. And that this time together will spread out all over the world. We're ever so grateful for your kindness and your awareness of our problems and opportunities and how willing and able you are to take care of every single one of our needs. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. 34. You want to stand? We'll sing it. There we go. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been cleansed from unrighteousness, saved by his blood. Join heir with Christ as I travel the way. For I'm part of the family of God. You will know I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been cleansed from unrighteousness, saved by his blood. Join heir with Christ as I travel the way. For I'm part of the family of God. From the dead, Christ now reigns within, no longer.
righteousness, saved by his blood. Join air with Christ as I travel the way, for I'm part of the family.
She loves me.
The family of God.
Love you. God bless.